Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Get Paul Tompkins on our show.
Oh my god, he would be incredible. We should get Jack Black on the show.
He wouldn't do it either.
All right, let's do this.
Three, two, one.
You don't say the one.
Oh.
Wait, hi. Are we kissing? I thought we were all supposed to kiss.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm Jonathan Goldberg. I wrote things.
You wrote Sunshine?
Sure. Yeah. Sunshine, Rain, and that song.
I'm Matt Berger. I'm the composer for the first season of The Fall of the House of Sunshine.
My name is Nathaniel Kent. I play Detective Dan Kent, as well as a few smaller roles.
Try and guess who they are.
We just want to say thank you for listening to season one, because if you're listening to this, you have either assuredly listened to all of season one and you like it, or some mistake has happened, and I'm very sorry. You should turn this off now.
If you're listening to this, someone told you about the podcast, it's the most recent episode, you got to go back to the beginning.
Yeah, please. Yeah. Please go back to the beginning, because we're going to give a lot of spoilers for season two here.
Yeah.
We thought we'd do a quick question roundup, just if anybody had any cues after season one finished earlier this month. And some people wrote in, so I think we can start. You mind asking the first question?
Sure. Jeremy asks, when does season two happen?
That's a very good question, Jeremy. We're going to start record. We're writing it right now.
Yeah.
And actually, we were halfway through recording season one when Jonathan told me he'd already written season two, like in a week.
Well, the first draft.
The first draft. But so that's written. The music's being written right now, and we'll record it this fall of 2017 if you're in the future. And then it'll probably come out about the same time season one came out, like February of 2018.
All hoping that happens, yeah.
At Sam Burglar asks, will we learn more about the Warehams and Hampires?
No. I mean, yes. Maybe.
We wanted to tell you that we're going to do... Season 2 is coming out in February, but before that, we're recording a bunch of like little silly fun things called Brushtown Stories.
It's kind of like the ephemera of the show. It's just about following random... sort of smaller characters here, hither and thither.
And yon.
So, like, an example would be, like, are there, is it like, we'll take this character and do a little story about them?
Carla Gumdonowitz.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who, if you've been listening to the Brush Time Bootlegs, she's the most famous Toothstronaut. She'll have a little story about her history.
Mm-hmm.
You'll hear Dan Kent will be back doing a story. But we'll also hear... We do have something with Warehams and Hampires, right?
Yeah, I think we're planning to do that. So we have a bunch of like little stories and some characters who haven't appeared but will appear tangentially. So it's just exploration of the world of the Fall of the House of Sunshine. Kind of going in weird directions. And if you want to hear about a particular character also, you can tweet at us and maybe we'll... Make an episode about it.
We're not above that. Yeah, we will pander to you. Just give us an email. So, Sam Burglar, you will learn more about Warehams and Hampires maybe this August or September when Brushtown Stories starts dropping on the feed.
And we might learn more in season two.
At Sam Burglar just tweeted at us. Oh, cool.
Oh, that's so nice.
Thanks, guys.
Wow. I love doing these live podcast recordings.
That's right.
Joe asks, will you ever do the show live? Oh, much like we just talked about doing.
Just right now.
We were just talking about that. No.
Probably not. We might do sort of a like medley kind of review kind of show. Because first of all, there's like 20. Oh, is that Sam Burglar calling me?
That's fantastic. We should probably all put our phones on silent.
Yeah, I learned that lesson.
We might do a review someday. Oh, I like her. She's great.
Yeah, that was Jocelyn calling in to ask if the Grand Cuspid would be in season 2.
the dead Grand Cuspid.
She's dead, so...
Silence!
Silence. That's what right? She's calling me to tell me to silence my phone.
So no, but we might do... One of these days it would be fun to do like some of the songs live. But yeah, so we'll see.
I mean, a review.
Also, we can't really get all the actors together. Be a lot.
We just have Nate doing all the voices, and then I have an acoustic guitar. We'll
tour some fringes.
Yeah,
I love it.
We'll do the Canadian fringe.
Actually,
tour.
Very specifically, we made this a podcast, so we wouldn't ever have to do anything like that. So,
except maybe Edinburgh fringe we would do.
Mm. Ooh, that would be fun.
Hit us up, Edinburgh,
and Scotland.
Or if you're a...
Is that where Edinburgh is?
No.
Oh, never mind.
No,
that's too far.
That's yeah.
Yeah. Zlock asks, did the fuzzing of the world negatively impact Danny's freshman year at Michigan State?
Oh, Danny.
Oh, Danny.
Well, you see, the issue was Danny was working on the Fuzzatronic bomb, as was most all the town by the end.
Oh, he was still
And home. As you know, there was... Yeah, he hadn't
oh, that's right. Yet. It was his senior year.
It was his senior year, so it was before the summer. He'd been accepted. I mean, he wasn't really... You know, he was more kind of pushed into it by his parents, but... What happened was, a lot of the workers working on the bomb were zapped to alternate dimensions, and unfortunately, Danny was as well. Mm-hmm. However, he was zapped to a dimension where it would rain pasta from the sky, but he did fall in love with a meatball of some renown, and they raised several macaronis as their own.
Zlock asks, if Dan Kent shot Brushy, then why was the Grand Bicuspid near the television station?
Sidewalk sale.
Sidewalk sale.
Come on.
Album
all. Follow it. Zlock asks, did Flosso intend to prick Braceletta with the glistening dental pick of the Pearly Knight? If not, who in New Molar did he intend to use it on, or is it more meant as insurance, comma, backup, question mark? Was that a bargaining chip?
Yeah, it was more insurance, comma, backup, question mark, I think, than anything else. I think he wasn't even really 100% sure. He was just sort of desperate and trying to do anything he could to save his brother. So.
Yeah. It didn't happen. And then he had to run away because she was turning into the thing that would destroy him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sad.
Zlock asks, which pog was it? Was it a glitter one?
Yes. Zlock asks, oh no, wait, it was a chrome.
It was a...
I'm so sorry.
It was a chrome slammer pog that had a skull that was similar but legally distinct from the Punisher logo.
Thank you. I always mix those two up. Yeah. Zlock asks, how many of the cast and crew members of the podcast have had to have braces or other scary dental circumstances as children?
I can answer for myself. Mm-hmm. I had braces twice.
Twice?
Yep,
twice. Did you do it right the first time?
Well, I didn't wear my retainer.
Oh.
So I had braces on all of my teeth for 2.5 years, something like that. And then in my... over one summer between junior and senior year of high school, I had braces on just my front two teeth.
Jeez.
For about 3 months.
Wow.
Between which 2 years of?
Junior and senior. It was a summer.
That's a bad time.
So just 3 months. Okay. I didn't have to see anyone if I didn't want to.
That's fantastic.
But it is weird. I mean, imagine
just
two braces.
I can't imagine.
Just to close that little gap.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. I had the same problem. I never went back, though. I just screwed it up. And then I was like, well, that's good. Never wore the retainer.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. I had braces for most of high school. And my godfather's dentist. So maybe that has something to do with it.
Money, money, money. What's next?
Zlock asks, are there podcasts in this world?
Oh.
Are the McElroys Team Tooth or Team Fuzz? Or Quiet Pro-Clown Revolutionaries? That's two questions in one.
Yeah, that's too many, Zlock. What are you going to say, though?
No.
No podcasts?
Nope.
There's no such thing as podcasts?
There's such thing, but
there's such
outlawed.
A thing, but yeah.
They were outlawed.
And what about these McElroys?
They were put down in the rebellion.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a shame. They were very bright young men. They're men, right?
As far as I know.
Okay, cool. Zlock asks, is a specific canonical character watching the VHS tapes featured in the bootlegs, or are they foliage steps just for flavor? Oh, wouldn't you like to know?
He asked the question, so yeah, he would.
Oh, that's a very good point. That's a very good point. Oh, man.
Let's Are you going to tell him?
Let's just agree to disagree.
That doesn't help at all. It's someone you will meet eventually, yes.
And good use of Foley as well. I didn't know it could be passed.
Thank you.
tense in the question itself.
Oh. Not in the actual thing. That sounded terrible.
Man.
Oh, no.
Like this.
You know how many times I spent on my knees making chew sounds for this stupid show?
Are we going to put Foley into that part of the this?
Like it for that moment? Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll have it. Oh, that's a good point. I'll have it in the background.
Great. We can cut this part out.
Add it in post.
All right, we're going to pause and
Nick to get that done right away.
We're going to pause, go to one of our sponsors. Thanks.
The Fall of the House of Sunshine has no sponsors, so consider going to our Patreon page and being our sponsor. Or if you know someone at Casper, give us a call. Thanks for listening.
The whole time, but, you know.
Oh, my God.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Did you have to call his parents?
No.
It's really sad.
They were dead, too.
Oh, that does make it better. Welcome back. A couple more questions. Thanks for listening.
Zlock asks, was Brushy's cousin actually his cousin? Or was he Flosso's cousin, and thus Brushy's great-uncle? Was he still alive and well by the time the Great Fuzzening happened?
Are we talking about Howlin' Brush Johnson?
I think so.
More specific with these qualifiers. Brushy's cousin. Brushy's got tons of cousins.
He's got a lot of cousins, actually, yeah.
But was he actually his cousin, is the question.
Well, a number of his cousins are his cousins, and a few of them are sort of in the New England, like, colloquial sense of like, oh, this is your cousin from, you know, right. Like my auntie. Yeah. You know, that
and sometimes it's a split screen where Brushy's just wearing a wig.
Absolutely. A lot of them are. But if we're specifically talking about Howlin' Brush Johnson, then...
Exactly.
Yeah. But he is alive and well, and you will hear back from him eventually. Because I don't write this show, so I can just say that whenever I want, and the other guy has to do it.
Eventually is a very open-ended term.
Zlock asks, the creepy culty dental kids program is obviously the core idea at the center of the podcast.
Presumptuous.
I love this guy. No, I do. I really do. Did the tooth fuzz dichotomy come around early on, or was it a later idea in the planning stages? How about the clown conspiracies? It's a very good question, Jonathan.
It all came pretty early. Well, the whole... Well, I guess we can get into like where the show comes from.
Yeah, do that real quick.
Yeah.
Really quickly.
So, okay. 30 seconds.
You guys have, you gotta get out of your car now or go, do something.
Yeah, you can
attend to some errands.
Check back in like 2 minutes.
Yeah, okay. So, while the earth was cooling, life was still a long ways away.
Jonathan and I know, fast forward 2,000 years. Just right. 5,000 years, I'm sorry.
5,000, 2,000 years. All right, we got 10,000, so we're using the creationist, 1,000 years, so...
Jonathan and I know each other. Jonathan and I know each other through a guy named Stephen Stout, who started a show called Serials, and they would invite in like 5 writers a week to do like a serialized show, and Jonathan was in the first group of them, and he put a show in there that was the basis for this. Mm-hmm. I saw it. It made it to like week 2. If you've watched like Channel 101 ever on the internet, it's like that, and then it got canceled.
Yep.
And then years later, we worked on something else, and we ended up working on this. So I think you had the children's show, the fuzz, and the tooth.
Well, they
were all there originally.
Well, they pitched me. They basically were a group of actors who were put together as one of the teams, because there was 5 teams, each of them doing their little playlets.
Mm-hmm.
And they said basically like death at a children's show or something was like their very vague pitch to me. And I of said like, well, what if it's a cult? And what if it's sort of tied in with, like, underground things? And then, independently of that, I wrote a couple little scenes for a show called Ephemerama that I did with Dan Moyer about this tooth-obsessed town called New Molar. And so I kind of mixed those together and a couple other ideas and just kind of Teeth together, teeth apart.
Oh, that came in the name of an episode.
Yeah, it came in the name of an episode, yeah. And that was about... New Molar, though it also involved Pac-Man, and so it wasn't really...
Well, I think people are getting back in their cars now. They've just finished their shopping.
And so after the Great Flood, we learned...
Turns out he was dead the whole time.
So, but it was there from early on, like this whole teeth versus fuzz.
Bringing it back.
Yes, because even in the original stage thing, we did do stuff with puppets, and the idea of like...
His mom.
That's his mom turning into a puppet, Madam Sunshine. That was in the original, the ideas too. Because again, with children's shows,
that's where
puppets.
It got canceled.
But it actually wasn't about teeth originally. It was more of, I think, a sunshine cult. That's why it's called Sunshine.
It's kind of amazing that we decided to base such a big project around something that got canceled in another way.
In the, second episode.
People said, yeah, no more of this. And we said, why not do a podcast?
Well, to be fair, I was up against a five-year-old. So
that's true. That guy was great.
Zlock asks, was the clown conspiracy metaphor stuff conceived before or after the U.S. election? And how responsible was the political climate for this subplot?
It was all written before, but the last song written for the show was Clown Panic, and it was written in December, and we'll leave it at that. Zlock asks, did the writers have to do any research into evangelical religions and cults, or was it more based on personal experience? I didn't do any research. What about you, buddy?
I didn't really do any research, but I mean, I had listened and read books about cults. I've never been in one that I know of, but... it's always sort of an interest in what Gallatin. I did go undergrad. That's kind of a cult. But I did take a course in Gallatin called like Apocalypse Myth and the End of the World, which talked a lot about cults. And I'd read a couple books and seen documentaries. And you know,
I'd say you're the most learned person I know, about anything. So I'd say you could say yes to this, probably.
From personal experience, you're saying?
Yeah.
I just stole off from Tony Kushner when he talked about Mormons. You know,
I love Tony Kushner.
Zlock asks, were all of the foreshadowing hints in the first couple episodes intentional, or were some of them retroactive call forwards?
I don't know the difference.
Retroactive call forwards.
That's a beautiful phrase.
So, like, you write something, and then you're like, oh, we could use that. Or did you...
We did outline a lot ahead of time. So one thing we decided was we wanted a really kind of clear, coherent story with the mystery that's going to be solved. But I can tell you one of the things that did change was when... Matt wrote 34 Reasons. He mentioned the bone
a lot. Yeah.
And because I like that so much, then I made the bone more important to the story. And that's because of something that Matt put in that wasn't originally in there, but then was fun to come out of it. And sometimes, too, when the music... Because we'd written the outline of the script first, and a lot of the stuff was just notes about this kind of song goes here. So sometimes when I would get the songs from Matt, that did definitely change a couple things. Because we like to... give each other freedom to sort of explore what's interesting to us as well. Yeah.
Very true. Zlock asks, by the time the first episode was released, how many episodes had been written and how much of the overarching plot had been finalized? Everything.
Yeah, I mean, we'd recorded, by the time the first episode was out, we'd recorded about 90% of everything. There was just a couple actors that had conflicts with that we needed to pull in later. And a few...
Episode 10 was done very later, mm-hmm. and then a lot of Rachel, who's our fantastic ethereal band being, a lot of her stuff was done later. And, like, I'd say by end of February, all the recording was done, minus a few things that I could do on my own, musically.
Yeah, it's just some, like, the backing music you kind of orchestrated.
But, like, Jonathan, right... Yeah, I did a lot of orchestrating and mixing through April. But I think we were still working on episode 12 on the Monday night before it was released on Wednesday. Yeah.
But not writing.
Yeah. No. Jonathan writes so fast that, we were recording season one, and then he went home talking about season two, and then came back in the next day and was like, well, I've written it. It's literally in one night, so... and then you edited it from there, but it's like, you're a very quick writer, so...
Yeah, it was also good because once I knew about the other seasons, we can put some hints to those actually in season one as well. So that's all kind of connected, which is fun.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi. I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
Zlock asks, why did the pirate in The Tooth That Knoeth the Pearly Truth stink of grease? Why did the crab stab instead of pinch? What was it stabbing with?
I believe it's stabbing with a knife. I think that's in the lyrics, actually. It is, yeah. So,
well, if not, yeah, he stabbed with a knife. If not, it is a knife. Yeah.
And actually, that's if you want a whole essay about the history of the song and its relationship to New Moeller, you can join our Patreon and get exclusive access to that and find out why it was a crab, what the crab symbolizes, what all the other things symbolize. And
he's being honest. You can really do this.
You can really do that. And I'll tell you, it has to do with criminals and brothel and Horace McMenamin and a lot of the history of New Moeller is tied into that song.
All right, I'll give. I play Horace.
It's true, I do.
Yep.
Yeah, that was the intention of this question.
Or you play the character who plays Horace in the pageant.
Okay, fine. Well, yeah,
but Zlock, I guess
that's true.
But as an actor, you do feel you embody Horace.
Zlock asks, Puppet Johnson sounds very sophisticated. How does he like to relax, or how did he like to relax?
On a chaise lounge made of human bones.
Zlock asks, the podcast story is deeply, incredibly silly and ridiculous, but also has a surprising amount of depth and layers. I'm gonna cry. This is beautiful. Almost Homestuckian in its intricacy. Why did you decide to marry deeply silly characters and circumstances with Lost or Moffat levels of plot pyrotechnics? Did you ever worry that you would be putting in work and effort and secrets that no one would notice? How much faith did you have in that listeners would pay close enough attention to realize how deep the puppet hole goes?
Before you guys answer, I would like to know, Zlock, which are the ones that you think nobody else noticed?
Oh, tweet at us. The Pod Musical.
Zlock is the only one who's going to be listening to
that. Well, that's one person. That's it.
I'll listen.
Oh, that's thanks, good. Man.
Oh, and your mom.
That's right. She's been a big supporter.
My mom, not a fan.
No, not really.
Nope.
A lot of hate mail.
Yes.
This is really nice, and we've been joking around, and I still want to be quick and brief here, but I've never found someone who my aesthetics for what I want to hear and what I want to do in the world go deeper with than Jonathan. And I feel like we both feel like comedy and silliness doesn't mean that something, you have to be totally irreverent and it doesn't have any sort of basis or something like that. It can be a nice tool to sort of take a look at the world. And I don't think that's a unique way of looking at it.
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes out of the kind of things I like and just want to see and want to put in. And I think it's fun to put in these little sort of tiny things that are fun, and you see when people get them or if they don't, and it doesn't matter, but it's just, you know, fun to create something and to work with Matt, who I always enjoy working with, and create something for a wider audience, because before this we really just made stuff for the stage, which is very temporal and very brief, and once it's gone, it's gone, and with this it's longer.
I think John always enjoys making sure that everything is written with such precision that even if, like, let's say half the audience gets some and half the audience gets the other, but each individual thing that he's writing is for somebody, and it's going to pay off if somebody notices it. And I think the precision that with which you write always pays off, because I think there is a depth to the words that you use.
I would agree. And I think the first thing I thought about when we were starting to work on this was that we were taking a look at a lot of other podcasts and storytelling stuff that's done episodically, and it can't be something that just kind of goes off into nothing and we just sort of riff on it every week. It has to be something that makes sense. And it was, if we're going to do a mystery, it has to all relate to itself. And I sort of hadn't seen you work in that way before. And so I remember like getting like a 4 to 8 page long 12 episode arc from you in outline form like a week later that was like, everything was laid out, you know. I already know how silly you were, but then I saw how like deep the depth of like the work that was going into it. I gotta say goodnight to my daughter, and we're gonna take one more break. All right, She's going to go brush her teeth. Bye.
The Fall of the House of Sunshine was brought to you by listeners like you. Visit us at our Patreon page at patreon.com/... just search PodMusical at patreon.com. We're not sure what the URL is.
You don't know that? That's bad.
Well, if you know what it is, tell me.
I don't know. Oh, God. Turns out he was alive the whole time.
And his parents?
Oh, totally alive. Very alive. And friendly. Okay, we don't have much time left. We've been taking up a lot of your time. We're going to do a lightning round to finish up all these questions that so many different people have been sending to us. And just one more time, we're very thankful that you've been listening. And if you're trapped in a room somewhere and this just came up on Pandora, I'm so sorry.
Zlock asks, why did you decide to put New Moeller in Indiana?
Because that's where it is.
Zlock asks, did the Lady Sasquatch have any guilt over murdering an innocent janitor? Was the janitor innocent?
No. Zlock asks, will there be an adults-only After Dark spinoff show called The Fall of the House of Moonlight, where we learn about the lubrication uses of puppet slime and Lady Sasquatch's big lower badge? How much do you hate me for making you read that sentence with your eyeballs? Well, I actually hadn't read it with my eyeballs, and now I read it with my mouth. Zlock asks, where are... I feel awful. Thanks, Zlock. Zlock asks...
Gross.
Where... And the answer is no.
Zlock asks, were all the puppets on the Sunshine Hour former orphans? Was Blunt Bird?
Yes. Yes.
I also played Blunt Bird.
Yeah, you don't have to tell everybody. It's on your IMDb.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I put...
IMDb.
I edited that.
Yeah, I put it in the comments section of Jake Gyllenhaal's page. Just kidding, they got rid of their comments.
Zlock asks, how much of the Foley work was original and how much was from sound libraries? I'd say I couldn't give you an exact percentage, but if I was going to talk about how many times I was on my knees slamming shoes into the ground, I'd say 120% was Foley work and maybe 10% was from sound libraries.
And even if we took stuff from sound libraries, we manipulated that and changed it around. That's a lot. Nick also really helped shape.
Yeah, Nick DiMichela. Yeah, and if you heard some of your sounds on the show, give us a call and we'll put your name on the website.
They are legally distinct.
Zlock asks, why did the announcer stop saying heavens before what is to be done?
Well, he converted to a techno religion that doesn't believe in a higher power like a heaven. They believe instead in a digital microchip where you live forever within the gigabyte verse.
And we respect that. Zlock asks, does Clowny Brown have a coworker named Death?
I don't know what that means. He could. Find out on Brushtown Stories when I try to figure out what this question means.
Find out later. He just wrote the first Brushtown
Zlock, Stories. Please, I'd like to hear more about that.
Tweet us.
Zlock asks, when does the podcast take place?
Zlock asks, did Brushy know who gave birth to him?
Yes.
He did?
Hmm?
I did?
Wait, you gave birth to him?
No. I play Brushy.
Zlock asks, how do the cast record their lines? Do they share studio space when doing a scene together, or is it all done separately?
We really wanted to do the majority of it together, and so Nick DiMichele, again, our really wonderful producer, got like a good setup in his basement that we did like three voices at a time maximum. But sometimes we had to do one separately. I think Everett, who plays Clowny Brown, did all his stuff separately, but mostly all together.
Zlock asks, wait, do cranes have teeth?
Duh. Zlock asks, will we learn of Horace's third artifact in season 2?
Zlock asks, how many gingivitis germs were harmed in the production of this podcast?
None. We saved them all. They're in a box. Mm-hmm. Zlock asks, lastly, how long until an album of the songs from the first season will be available for purchase? You know, considering how much money this costs to make, we probably should have put this question first so we could have told people.
Yes, because people have stopped listening long ago.
I can't wait to find out how many people stopped listening by now. It's coming out very, very soon. We're very, very lucky. We have a wonderful cast of people that recorded decent songs and made them better. And we'll be putting it out very soon onto iTunes.
And other things.
Nope, just iTunes.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, they have an exclusive deal.
Wow.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being at my house, guys, Jonathan and Nate.
My pleasure.
And now we're going to record a live credit outro starring Melissa Lusk.
The Follow the House of Sunshine is a Roy Gold production. It was written by Jonathan Goldberg with music by Matt Roy Berger. Find out more about the show and cast at podmusical.com. Hey, did you know if you put two eels together, you can make an eel sandwich? Thanks for listening, and have a fabulous podcast when I'm again here.
Nate just asked, what's inside the eel sandwich? And Mel said, I don't know, man, electricity. She closed the door.
Thanks for listening.
Have a centabulous bicuspid of a day.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.